Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Creditaccess Grameen Q4 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nitesh Jain. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sagar. Welcome to the Quarter 4 FY24 earnings conference call of Creditaccess Grameen Limited. To discuss the financial performance of Creditaccess Grameen and to address your queries, we have with us today Mr. Uday Kumar Hebbar, MD of Creditaccess Grameen, Mr. Ganesh Narayanan, CEO of Creditaccess Grameen, Mr. Balakrishna Kamath, CFO, and Mr. Nilesh Dalvi, SVP and Head Investor Relations. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Uday Kumar Hebbar for his opening comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Nitesh. Good evening, everyone, and we welcome you to join the conference call to discuss our fourth quarter and full year FY24 business performance. CA Grameen has stood as a preferred financial partner supporting the entrepreneurship journey for millions of women over the past 25 years. We take pride in being the first standalone microfinance entity to surpass the significant milestone of rupees 25,000 crore AUM mark in our Silver Jubilee year of operations. We have been once again certified as a Great Place to Work for the fifth consecutive year given our purpose-oriented approach. We ended financial year 2024 on a solid footing, having registered AUM growth of 27% YoY and 14.2% QoQ to 26,714 crore, supported by a healthy increase in customer base. The customer base grew 15.3% YoY and 4.8% QoQ to 49.2 lakh at the end of financial year 2024. Our customer addition momentum continued to remain strong as we added over 13.5 lakh new customers during FY24 and 4.2 lakh new customers in Q4 FY24, with an average of 1.1 lakh addition every month. The expansion in outside core markets has been playing out well, as 44% of our yearly customer addition came outside of top three states. We added 86 branches in the last quarter and 194 branches during this year, taking our total infrastructure strength to 1,967 branches spread across 383 districts at the end of March 2024. We also merged 13 branches to enhance our operational efficiencies. Once again, disbursements were the strongest in Q4 FY24 at rupees 8,053 crore, an increase of 12.3% YoY given robust customer additions and renewal strength from the retained borrowers. Our progress in retail finance portfolio continued to thrive with an AUM of rupees 708 crore at the end of March 2024, an increase of 20% YoY. This book, being 2.7% of our overall portfolio, is performing extremely well, with PAR 30 of around 0.07% across new products like individual business loans, mortgage-backed loans, two-wheeler loans, etc. In line with our evolving customer philosophy, we are supporting our graduated customers through retail finance products, resulting in an industry-leading customer retention rate of 88%, a proof of strong customer affiliation with our brand. Net interest income in Q4 FY24 grew by 33.7% YoY to INR 922 crore. We continue to remain one of the lowest-cost lenders with a portfolio yield of 21%, a stable cost of borrowing at 9.8%, and operating with 11.2% interest spread. Our diversification in liability franchise, both sourcing geography-wise, the highest standalone credit rating, adequate ESG disclosures and ratings, and healthy capital adequacy contribute to our unique positioning. We believe that our cost of borrowing for FY25 should remain stable as we continue to maintain a robust ALM position. When our interest spread was 11.2% in Q4 FY24, NIM stood at 13.1%. Cost to income ratio was healthy at 30.1%, which is 10 bits lower than YOY. We created an additional provision of rupees 26 crore towards long-term incentives and one-time special bonus to our employees while celebrating our silver jubilee year. PPOP grew by 35.8% YOY to rupees 683 crore. The credit costs in Q4 FY stood at rupees 153 crore, partially offset by INR 13 crore of bad debt recovery. The collection efficiency, excluding arrears, stood healthy at 98.3%. GNPA at 60 DPD stood at 1.18% and PAR 90 plus at 0.94% and net NPA at 0.35%. ECL provisioning stood at 1.95% higher than our GNPA. Our PAT grew by 33.9% YOY and 12.4% QOQ to rupees 397 crore during the Q4 FY24, resulting in ROA of 5.7% and ROE of 24.9%. For the financial year 24, net income grew by 45.9% YOY and to INR 3,260 crore, while PPOP grew by 58.7% YOY to rupees 2,391 crore. Gross credit cost stood at 2.06% in FY24. As explained on slide 7 of the investor presentation, the credit cost on account of delinquent loan was 1.71%, which included 1.52% of actual credit loss in the form of write-off and 0.19% provision stage 2 and stage 3 provisioning. The remaining difference of 0.35% was on account of increase in standard asset provisioning on stage 1 asset basis our revised ECL policy introduced in FY23. Our stage 1 provisioning increased from 0.82 in March 23 to 0.92 as on March 24. The net credit cost after incorporating rupees 48 crore bad debt recovery stood at 1.8% for FY24 in line with our guided range. The company continues to hold over and above 100% 100 bips higher provisioning compared to IRAC prudential norms. Our PAT in FY24 grew by 75% YOY to INR 1,446 crore, leading to an ROE of 5.6% and ROE of 24.9%, in line with our annual performance guidance. Capital adequacy remained comfortable at 23.1%. It is important to note that our cross-cycle ROA and ROE over the past 8 financial years from FY17 to FY24, despite facing 3 external shocks, stood at 3.6% and 15% respectively. Our distinctive methodology for conducting the business in the form of classical DL model, diverse product suite, flexibility in repayment, and continuous district-based expansion approach supported by strong corporate governance structure ensures stability and enhances resiliency. Commemorating our 25 years of operations, the Board of Directors has recommended a one-time final dividend of rupees 10 per share, a dividend payment of INR 159 crore translating to a dividend payout of 11%, subject to shareholders' approval at the ensuing annual general meeting of the company. Assuming a stable operating environment, we look forward to achieving loan portfolio growth of 23 to 24% in FY25. On the back of our competitive lending rate and strong control on the cost of borrowing, we foresee NIM in the range of 12.8 to 12.9%. The cost to income ratio should be range bound at 30 to 31%. We are anticipating credit costs of 2.2 to 2.4%. With the actual rate of being within 2%. Overall, we aim to achieve ROA of 5.4% to 4.5% and ROE of 23 to 23.5% in FY25. Looking at the medium term from 25 to 28, we anticipate loan portfolio growth of 20 to 25%. NIMs in the range of 12.7% to 12.9% and cost to income ratio between 30% to 31%, helping keep our leadership position intact. We expect a similar credit cost of 2.2% to 2.4% while delivering ROA of 5.4% to 5.5% and ROE of 22% to 23.5%. With this, I would like to open the forum for question and answers. Thank you for your support, your listening. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Renish from ICICI. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congrats on a good set of numbers. So just two, three questions from my side. One on the clarification side. So on sequential basis, our emergency loan proportion has spiked up significantly to 1,000 plus crore. So can you please throw some light on what sort of emergency loans these are?
I think there are some data errors. We will repeat it. It is less than 0.8% of our book, actually. I think there is some data errors. We will rectify that, Renish.
Renish, the emergency loans is 5 crores.
5 crores only total portfolio.
We rectified in the deck.
Got it. I think so there is a mismatch between home improvement and emergency, I guess.
There seems to be some error. We will rectify that.
Okay. No worries. So secondly, on the margin side, of course this year has been fantastic for us. But now going ahead, when we say that we'll be maintaining this 12.7% to 12.8% NIM, and the way sort of regulator is commenting on the yields, do we foresee any risk to sustain these margins going ahead?
So, if you look at our financials, our interest spread is only 1.2% currently. So, it's quite reasonable when compared to the regulatory direction also. As well as, we have the lowest price to customer. And the NIM and is coming from the efficiency of managing capital and managing operations. We don't see a reason where this is... this is seen negatively. I think this will be seen positively.
Got it. And so just last question, maybe a bit lengthy one, on the credit cost side. So we were guiding for 2.1% of credit cost for 24. Of course, we ended very close to that. But then when we look at the increase in guidance from 1.6 to 1.8 to 2.1 and now 2.2 to 2.5, so, sir, what has changed fundamentally, which is sort of leading to this increase in guidance for credit cost maybe every 6 months?
Yeah, there are two things are happening. One is as we grow more in the non-core markets, our provisioning is higher because we provide them as a high-risk state. Standard provision itself, the impact of increased credit cost is basically almost 35 bps coming from the higher provision what we're creating for a standard asset. As I explained earlier also, it's also available in our deck. So our actual credit cost is actually 1.7%. So as we grow more in the non-market, there will be some impact on the credit cost. And two, we also observing a slight stable credit cost is slightly higher than what it was compared to Q1 and Q2, so which we also explained in the last quarter. So stable credit cost will remain around this. So that's why your actual rate of assets may be less than 2%, but credit cost may hover between 2.2 to 2.4, considering early recognition of risks and higher provision on standard assets.
Okay, so basically you are saying, let's say incrementally between 25 to 28, our growth will be coming largely from the non-southern market or in a sense non-core markets. and given our ECL model is, the stage one provisioning will be always higher vis-à-vis the historical trend. Is that the current understanding, sir?
Correct. Correct. If you see our stage one provisioning, which was less than 80 basis points, moved to more than 90 basis points right now. So the difference between last 1 year, 35 basis points of increase in rate was only because of this change. So basically, that's a cushion being built by recognizing early and then having sufficient cushion for the against the risks, potential risks.
Got it. Got it. And again, follow-up on that is, let's say, so basically, you are trying to highlight that the credit behavior of the customer has changed post-COVID, and which might lead to the little higher steady-state credit cost than what we have seen pre-COVID.
Correct. It's a combination of two things, as you said. There will be a little higher steady credit cost and a little higher provisioning itself. So combination of that will show higher credit cost.
So does this reflect in the center attendance as well, sir? I mean, what are the parameters to track this? I mean, a change in customer behavior.
So there's no too much change in customer behavior. So core markets to non-core markets, I was telling actually. So non-core markets have a little different tendency. Therefore, it will potentially go up a bit as a steady-state.
Okay. And what explains the sequential increase in the PAR portfolios across the buckets, sir?
There is only 20 basis points increase in our PAR portfolio, if you observe. So almost 10 basis points is coming from the flood situation still continuing because it is paying on and off. Most of them are paying still in the PAR bucket. So another 10% is just a simple movement here and there.
Okay, okay. Got it, got it. But nothing, let's say, any stress building up in the sector you see, right?
At least we are not seeing that in any of our markets. There will be small variation between different states, but not significant changes.
Okay, okay, okay. Thank you very much, sir, for a detailed answer. Best of luck, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rajiv Mehta from YES Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Congrats on strong performance. Just to higher bond credit cost, just two clarifications on the guidance that you've given of 2.2% and 2.4% FY25. Is it gross or is it net of bad debt recovery? That's first. And second,
Gross.
It's gross. Okay.
Gross.
Does it assume any further increase in provisioning rate on stage one and stage two? I know we are currently at 92 basis points and 55% for stage one and stage two. Do we intend to take it?
That could be because now actually we moved to a district level recognizing the ECL actually. If a district looks higher, I mean higher risk or a higher delinquency bucket, high risk district, then there will be higher, what you call, standard provision also. So there will be small movement. There could be small movement if there's an increase in the trend. But that will get countered with the pricing, correct? So then we are also moving to the district level pricing also.
Right.
So we'll actually manage between both pricing as well as risk. So there could be small movement here and there, but overall, we should not see too much of variations.
And just follow-up two questions on this borrower attrition through the year was 578,000 borrowers. Can you point out, was it concentrated in certain markets that we let go of borrowers because of leverage or because of competition? That's one. And second is, there is a meaningful sequential increase in GLP per borrower in higher vintage buckets of 3 to 6 years and more than 6 years. So is it driven by cycle migration or something else?
No. One is our attrition is actually, it's not changed. It's 88% earlier also, 88% now also. There is no change in the trend actually. It's within that, and which is what we hope to maintain between 85 to 90% of the retention. We are within that range. So there is no significant variation in the bucket. There's one variation we saw that, the Madura book where we lent or renewed, some of them probably little higher in terms of attrition because they all moved from monthly to weekly. Some of them may not accept weekly. They want to go back to monthly or so. So we saw a little higher there, but otherwise there is no significant change in anywhere. That's the overall, it's very insignificant. Ticket size increase. Average increase is the basically outside increase only at a more than 3 years to 6 years bucket only, where we have a very strong loyal customer base, only where we have seen sufficient vintage. And the risk also lesser. If you see, we provide lesser, we have always seen lesser risk in that bucket. So that's it's a normal demand and supply. So this kind of increase always there. But as if you see, below 3 years, it's a consistently same trend.
And it's anyway lesser than 10%.
Yeah, it's overall 8%. Correct. So if you see, annual growth of GLP used to grow between 9 to 10%. So within that range only, no more. So it's about 8% overall increase.
Okay. Thank you, Investor.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you. Congratulations on a good quarter. Just trying to understand wherein in the presentation also we say that some bit of the power accretion that we are seeing is happening because of stronger growth outside our core states. And you also suggested that as part of this increase in our credit cost guidance, some bit of it in terms of higher write-offs is going to come from our growth in the non-core states. So if you could just provide some more texture with regards to particular states where we are seeing that the power accretion is higher, or is the, I would say, credit behavior of your non-core state customers very different from your core state customers?
Abhijit, correction, it's not a power increase. We said credit cost increase because we provide higher, considering that new markets, we are position a little high risk and provide higher even for standard as well as stage 1, stage 2 also. Therefore, the credit cost is going up a little bit, not necessarily the PAR is going up. You see, PAR has gone up only by 20 bps between the last 12 months. That is 10 bps coming from the flood effect, and only 10 bps increase because of the overall change. It's not very significant increase.
Did I clarify about credit cost?
Credit cost is more of a provisioning itself is higher in the non-core markets. That is why.
Got it. Any particular reason? I mean, typically, sir, I mean, most of the lenders talk about the experiences.
Old market, core market, where we know the behavior well over a period of time. So we are able to assess the risk properly and the ECL is low consistently. Whereas new markets, we would take little more time to assess carefully and see whether it is low risk or high risk or medium risk. So we provide based on either medium risk or high risk, not the low risk for the new market at this point of time. Therefore, the credit cost or a provision what we make is little higher in the new markets.
Got it. So if I understood you right, I mean, this is a conscious choice that we have made of making higher provisions on the new markets, right? Rather than our ECL models asking us to do that.
Okay. So, for example, our Maharashtra, actually, we treat it as a high risk. We actually provide higher Maharashtra, Madhya Pradesh, Chhattisgarh, Rajasthan, Gujarat. All of them we provide as a high risk state. Whereas states which are in UP, Bihar and all, we provide as a medium risk. So Karnataka, we provide as low risk rate. Tamil Nadu, we provide as medium risk rate. So we have a different rate. That from there, we are moving to district now. So now we have about 29% of the districts are in high risk. So moving forward, we look at the granular at the district level, which is the high risk and low risk. So therefore, there will be some change of patterns in terms of providing, but still there won't be too much variation in this process.
Got it. And so then fair to conclude that, I mean, just like we are doing risk grading based on districts, the pricing is also, I would say, risk based in these districts.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We are moving towards that direction.
Got it. Got it. This is also my side. Thank you so much and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shripal Doshi from Equirius. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening, everyone. And congrats on a good set of numbers, sir. So my question was firstly on this increase in marginal cost of decline in the marginal cost of borrowing. So what is it that is helping us on the cost of funds, sir?
Okay, I will ask Kamath to respond this. So only thing is majority of our borrowing in Q4 was done domestic only. That is what one of the reasons maybe Kamath would indicate.
Yeah, normally in the fourth quarter of the year, we borrow from all the domestic banks. And we want to utilize all the sanctions. So we are not drawn any NCD or we are not drawn any foreign borrowings. So that's why the average marginal cost of borrowing has come down in the fourth quarter.
Okay, so for the whole year, it should be broadly in the range of 9.8 sort of a percentage for FY25. If the rate comes down.
Yes. The rate may not go down from here because we still continue to diversify our business, diversify our borrowings to NCDs, external borrowing, everything. So it will remain stable at this level unless a major change in the lending cost from RBI side or from Fed side.
Yeah, you may see some divergence between the quarters.
Correct.
Based on how we draw the funds. But on the average, we feel it should be largely stable. Till the Fed and RBI signal a downward movement on the rate.
And it will be passing on to us.
Yes, that may take some more time because it's all MCLR based.
Correct.
Our loans are not on the repo.
Correct.
So till we get the benefit of a lower MCLR, the rates could be largely stable.
Got it.
So one question was pertaining to pricing and linking it with your earlier commentary on states like say high risk and medium risks. So what is our pricing in say high risk states and medium risk states versus Karnataka? That was question number one, and question number two was pertaining to asset quality again. So on that front, if you look at the AUM per AUM per loan officer has been increasing. Is that a reason, or could that be a reason which would be which could explain this deterioration in the high risk states? And also, if you could highlight the attendance in the high risk states and the attrition in these high risk states.
Okay. Before that, so first of all, pricing you asked. There are two types of pricing we do. Based on risk, actually. One is risk-based pricing based on the district risk status, high or low. That's one. Second is based on the vintage of the client. If the high vintage client, the pricing is low, whereas low vintage client will price higher. Difference between low and high is almost about 2%.
Okay.
Yeah, 20.5 is the lowest and the highest is 22.25%. The 1.5% variation between these two. That is point number one. About the
averages.
Average, no, the GLP per branch and yield. Yeah.
So, with respect to the increase in GLP per branch or loan officer, the right metric that we watch is borrowers per loan officer, right? So if you see the borrowers per loan officer, it's still in the range of around 375. Typically, a mature market for us can handle around 550 customers on an average, right? So as long as the borrowers are in control,
increase in GLP is only a factor of vintage
and longevity in a particular geography. So that is not a reason for increase.
And then particularly in the newer market, our customer handling is lesser, not the high.
Yes.
The higher will be handling with the core markets. So there's no correlation between these two.
Okay. And then the last part on say attrition at employee level in the high risk, and also if you could give some color on the attendance in these states at the center meetings.
So overall attrition is quite under control. In fact, for us, even in newer geographies, attrition is far better, right? So it is lower than your mature markets. With respect to center attendance, we've not seen much of a change. But if, say, 80% is something that we normally prescribe, probably we will be anywhere between 65 to 70, depending on geographies. And specifically in lower high-risk geographies where the penetration is lower, etc., we would demand slightly larger attendance. And that's something that varies, again, from state to state.
Not only attendance, we will have a higher control and audit also in the newer markets where the high-risk you have. So, which will help us when we design the district-wise high-low race, we also can trigger the different controls in the district also. So, we have that ability also. Right now, also new markets will have higher audit controls, higher risk controls. So, which is always a part of our controlling mechanism.
Got it, sir. So, this last question, if I can squeeze in, which states would be the key states for us to deliver, to help us deliver this 23-24% growth in FY25?
See, our core market will deliver between 10-15%. So basically the other markets, which is more of a Bihar, UP, West Bengal, Orissa, and the new market, which is Telangana, Andhra, should deliver higher than 25%, so that we will be on an average 23-24% growth.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, sir, for answering all my questions, and good luck for the next quarter.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Balkrishna Vagasia from Axanoun Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. So my first question is on a global level regarding the sector. So as the results are coming for fourth quarter for all the microfinance companies, so everybody is projecting some say 20% growth for next 3-4 years, 25, 30, even higher than that. So what are the signs that may or may not be present right now, but in future we should look for when, you know, there is over heating in the sector, or there is, you know, high kind of optimism, and which can lead to some sort of correction in the sector?
Yeah, our view is, in fact, we declared last year that we can grow at least between 20-25% for next, by 28 we said what we can reach. Based on the potential in the market, based on the retention, what we can, customer retention, what we can manage, based on the liability, what we can raise, based on the controls and risk management, what we can do. I think I would look at our company that we have ability to grow to that level. From a global perspective, on a country perspective also, the market what we are, which is less than 300,000 income households, which currently touch base by industry only by about 40%, which means 60% of the households are yet to get into a formal market. The first formal market, they would get into microfinance. So if they convert another 40% in next 5 years, I think it is still difficult. Still, the market will double by that time. So, and also top of this, there will be inflation impact on the loan size. There will be impact on the customer, vintage customer, higher loan per customer, all these factors together. So there will be enormous growth opportunity for the industry. And then after certain set of penetration, whether it's 60-70%, it is more of a competition, like what you are seeing today in the housing market. So I think then you need to really compete with your product, process, pricing, service, everything. I think we should be able to do that. I think therefore we believe that there is enormous opportunity for us to grow.
Some of the big risks that, you know, you see for your company and as well as for the sector, that, you know, you can say with your imagination that these are some of the big risks for the industry as well as for the company.
We are not expecting any known risks actually. There could be unknown risk, which is unknown anyway. So known risk, if you see last 10 years or 15 years, the risks which are come to this industry is unknown actually. So whether it's COVID or demonetization, the second COVID, all are unknown. The industry has not lost because of any known risks. It's all very small, sometime what you call a flood or a famine sometime. So these are small concentrated places. So we are not seeing any big risk for this industry, which is known and manageable. So unknown, sometime unknown, but if you are able to manage right control, right risk management, right customer service, still we can manage better.
I think the Credit Access Group has set up some insurance business as well. So how are they going to use our distribution channel, or how are we going to integrate with them, or that is completely different business and we have nothing to do with that?
It is a completely different business. It is, I can say, it's not even group company. It's a parallelly sister company, you can say. But Credit Access India Life is one more service provider for us, like our other insurance. We have 5 insurance providers. So one among them is Cali. So we keep supporting, we keep innovating the product for this set of customers, because Cali is more of a low income household focused insurance or a micro insurance segment. So there will be opportunity for us to co-work and innovate new product for this segment. So which is not an option with other mainstream insurance providers. So we'll continue to work together to ensure a right product for this set of customers.
And do we have insurance for the, you know, if the, in case the borrowers are not able to repay, then the, you know, the insurer will pay for a couple of installment or something like that?
No such insurance as of now for anybody in the country.
And the last question, what is the update on the income tax demand that we received from a year back or so?
A year back, it was closed. It is refunded to us already, whatever we paid is as an advance. So only what is pending is what we received in the last month, which is about 46 crores. And we, our auditors clearly said that there is no need of any provisioning or even contingent provisioning for this, because we feel that there is an error in the assessment, and we already made appeal, and we are sure that we will get this cancelled, the demand gets cancelled. It will take some time, but of course it's a process always. We'll follow the process, and we are pretty much confident that this is not a right demand.
So there was some big demand that is closed, right? There was very huge demand. It is closed.
That was in 2021, and then it's reduced to 100 crores later. Then it is always already cancelled and removed. They have published that also. Yeah, there's no demand, no other demand on us.
Thank you so much. That is all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please restrict your questions to 2 per participants. If you have a follow-up question, you can rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Hardik Shah from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations on the good quarter, sir. My first question is on the retail finance. Can you share some trends that you are seeing on the ground across products?
So, okay, hi. Hardik, this is Ganesh here. So, on the retail finance side, we are roughly around 3% of our AUM is retail finance, out of which the unsecured individual loan portfolio, which is being extended for graduated customers, is at the rate of around 72%, and the other 28% comprises of secured loans, which includes loan against property, gold loan, and then affordable home loans. Yeah. The total RF book is at 708 crores. Yeah.
Okay, and what do you think is your right to win in these segments versus competition, Ganesh?
Okay, so
and
I
your confidence on scaling up.
Yes. So for the first product, which is your Unnati product, this is more of a graduating product for certain profile of customers. And while, like in microfinance, we do command a very low interest rate for this particular product, and it is selectively given to a certain set of customers, centrally decided by us for various parameters, right? So, and then it is reinforced or reassessed at ground for certain other surrogates, and only those customers we extend this product. So this is scalable, we believe, in the range of 5%-7% of our overall AUM. And this portfolio has behaved consistently well. And since this is given to vintage customers, we believe that it increases customer loyalty for us, and it should benefit us over a period of time. With respect to loan against property, once again, we command a far better interest rate compared to the market. And we also have a good sourcing channel, right? So we have roughly around 13,500 field officers going to thousands of villages on a daily basis. And we are looking at majority of this business, both home loan as well as loan against property, come from our existing customers. So that means you are going to significantly reduce your sourcing costs, try and cross-sell to certain profile of customers who are looking at this, who are capable of repayment, who are able to establish a cash flow. And hence, once again, you're retaining your customer better. So that means I will be able to do something like a mortgage business at a far lower cost than probably a HFC is doing today. So from a customer's perspective, they continue the journey with us, they're comfortable dealing with us, they're getting a product probably much cheaper than what they will get from any closest competitor in the market, and the journey continues with us.
Understood.
And if you take
Thank you.
If you take two-wheeler, similar, so we don't take share from the dealer. So we don't ask for a market share from the dealer. So we source business and take it to the dealer, and hence we don't incur sourcing cost. And because this is given only to our existing customers, it is something that is building a lot of loyalty for our customers, because these women are enabling a first new two-wheeler in their home for their children, for their husbands, for themselves, which is quite unique, right? So, and this again is extended to them with a weekly loan, and it's quite successful at this point of time.
Understood. And one follow-up on this, how should we think about these products compressing yields on the overall book? Can you share yields?
Almost all the products except home loan are very close to our microfinance rates, which is still competitive compared to what is charged in the industry. Home loans alone, like we said earlier, it would take some time for us to build the portfolio, and hence you will not see any immediate impact on the volume. And as the volume picks up, we will figure out methods of ensuring that it does not compress our yields.
Understood. Thank you. One last bookkeeping question, if I may. Can you share your unique to credit customer in group lending?
It's 28% as of the end of financial year. As we keep growing in markets which are not new to us, sorry, which are new to us, this ratio, I think, will slightly dip and then move up over a period of time.
Understood. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Requesting all the participants, if you have any follow-up questions, you can rejoin the queue and limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Sameer Bhise from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a strong quarter. Just one question. What would be the interest rate differential between, say, a first cycle loan and a three-year loan for, say, a 75,000-plus ticket size customer?
So there is no differential on interest rates depending on the cycle. It's only the vintage, so less than 4 years and greater than 4 years. So there is a pricing benefit of 1% given to customers, because the ECL model also predicts a much lower credit cost.
Okay, so that only 1% across the vintage?
No, so less than 4 years, greater than 4 years. If the customer is greater than 4 years, they get a 1% benefit.
So, no, maybe I will just clarify further. Okay. I explained once actually. The pricing is based on two factors. One is vintage factor. One is the risk factor, the risk of geography factor. So if you are in high geography, there's a little higher pricing, even for first year. But whereas they're more than 4 years, they're in the low price, they will get the benefit almost 1.75% different. So but the lowest price for the charge, lowest to higher difference is about 1.75%.
Fair enough. Thank you. And secondly, if I just look at the state-wise GLP mix, Karnataka has dropped a bit, while the other two large states, Maharashtra and TN, the decline is slightly slower. Is it likely to remain that way, that while Karnataka share may drop, while other and converge to the second, third largest states, as the non-core states grow?
The change will not be significant, actually. It will remain to large extent between 18 to 90, 18 to 20 by next 3-4 years. So it won't drop faster, actually. So it will remain at that level.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from my side, and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Murarka from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi everyone. Good evening and congratulations for the quarter. So two questions. One, I think you partly answered or touched upon. In your PD-LGD calculations, do you also take the vintage of the customer into account apart from the district and all of that?
Yes.
Yeah. We look at both factors, vintage and geography risk. Both will take.
Okay. So as long as you're acquiring a lot of customers with low vintage and in new geographies or riskier geographies, then your blended credit cost will continue to go up. And as
you're absolutely right.
Right. And for geography, when do you take a geography or district to have become mature? I mean, does the credit cost have to show a lower trend, and that is when you say, okay, now this is matured? How does that happen? Or is it just an AUM or tickets
We recalibrate this district risk status every year, and then normally we would take decision once in a year or once in 2 years based on the continuous trend of high risk, low risk status. But every year we will review and recalibrate the districts.
Understood. Got it. And just the second question on retail finance, what kind of, let's say, AUM are you looking at from a, let's say, next 1 year or 2 years perspective? This year, of course, it's in a startup phase, so the growth is exponential. What is your, let's say, target or milestone 2 years out?
Look at what we declared last year during our analyst meet. We said we will reach about 10-15% of our book, and then the retail by FY28. So currently we are at 3, maybe every year 2-3% we would add to reach that. So which means we may have to reach around 7-8,000 crores by 28. And even if we convert our current 10% of customers into average 3 lakh rupees in the mix of all the products, so we will be more than 15,000 crores. Actually, we need only about 6-7% customer conversion with the average about 2-3 lakh portfolio. That's all. So that's why it is more of a in-house business to expand with the very low or nil acquisition cost.
Got it. And just for these customers, you are cross-selling to or graduating from your group lending to individual. What is the minimum criteria? As in, what does the vintage have to be, or what do you look at before you decide to cross it?
Yeah, so it's a combination of various factors, including the kind of district or state. So you will have vintage, you will have geography, you will have economic profile, you will have the type of business. So there is a set of surrogates that we've built, which is also something we consistently change in.
A minimum is 3 years or something, right? A minimum is 3 years, 2 years. Minimum is 2 years, but they have to meet many other criteria.
I think one strong differentiator will be they have to be able to demonstrate cash flows better.
Yeah. And they also have to have multiple sources of income. They should have a segregated place for business, etc.
Okay, okay. Got it, got it. All right, thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you, Abhishek.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shweta Daptardar from Vilara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity and congratulations on a good quarter. So I have two questions. One is, what is the movement of average ticket sizes across the core market?
So exact value, I don't know, Nilesh will share with you. It will always be higher movement in the core market because you will have a higher vintage customer in the core market. So exact number, maybe Nilesh will share with you separately. So new market, the movement will be very low because it has to complete 2 years and then 4 years kind of thing. Therefore, by default, the core market will have a higher movement.
Right. And the second question, what is the rate differential for your bank borrowings vis-a-vis our marginal cost of funding? Because since two quarters, we have been drawing down on our bank borrowings.
Yeah, actually, you know, bank borrowing normally is about 9.5 range. So this time we are able to get little more benefit for the banker, so it's about 9.3 to 9.4. And international borrowing and NCD, these all will cost around 9.15 to 10. So overall about 75 bits more. But it's important to do the diversification because those funds are long-term funds which will give a ALM benefit. And also diversification benefit. So therefore, the overall cost increase by increasing the diversification is about 20-30 bits only.
Sure, sir. That helps. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Jain from Tara Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mohit.
Yeah, good evening. Congratulations on the set of numbers. Sir, I was just looking at the incremental, the disbursement yield on the new portfolio, and that seems to be slightly higher than the portfolio yield over the last four quarters. And I think you suggested that the borrowing cost is expected to be flat. So in this situation, the NIM guidance that we are seeing for the next year is 20-30 basis point lower than, are we fairly conservative or are we post?
For example, if you see our new disbursement rate is 21%, 21.8 in the Q3 and 21.4 in the Q4, because we actually reduced the pricing by 50 bits between December to the Q4. So therefore, we expect in the next 1 to 2 years, there is impact of some 20 bits. So therefore, we projected a little lower.
Okay, okay. And so just one more question. Sir, if I'm looking at one of the NBFCs, which also have a bigger MFI portfolio, they have resorted to monthly collections from the beginning of the month. And their argument is, you know, that sees the bandwidth of the manpower because they focus on the collection at the beginning of the month and throughout the month they can focus on the disbursement. I know, sir, we have always been a proponent of the weekly collections, weekly and fortnightly. Have we evaluated ever that, you know, we may move to the monthly one or so that, you know, we'll have a better disbursement? So what's your view on the entire this argument?
No, actually, no, I think we have done enough study internally about what is that best for the resiliency in this business. It's not just the collection for this month. And we should not be looking at only based on the good time performance. We also need to look at the bad time performance, how this will differ between good time and bad time. So we have been experiencing this situation over the last 10, 15 years, and we strongly believe that giving the option of to customer rather than we deciding one way, either monthly, fortnightly, or weekly, instead of we give option to customer to decide what way they want to pay. So we give the option to customer saying that whichever the period or the frequency you want to decide, you can decide one borrowing. So our customer at least
58 to 60% customer have decided to go for a weekly, about 30 to 35% decided to go for fortnightly, and balance monthly. So we have all three options to customers. Whereas we meet our customers every week, based on the choice of frequency the customer chosen, they're paying. I think we thought this is the best way. We have been operating this model for last 12 years, and we believe that this will work better in good times and bad times.
And also increasingly, since you are now doing various other things with the customer, it is better to meet them more and helps you with relationship as well as offer other services.
Correct.
You're not restricting yourself just to one product today. You have multiple loan products in group loan itself. You have retail finance. You're offering products to the ecosystem. You're offering
connectivity is much higher.
Yeah. So you have a better relationship. I am going to meet probably 4 times compared to people who are in monthly. But different school of thoughts, different behaviors. I think we should not criticize any of it. It's just time period, like Uday says, good and bad times that should determine.
Okay, so thank you. And all the best for the future performance.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shreyansh Jain from Electrum PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. All of my questions have been answered. I just have one clarification about this weekly, fortnightly and monthly model. So the customers are repaying, 60% are repaying weekly and 30% fortnightly, 10% monthly. But are they coming to center meetings every week or they are only coming when they are
They will come every week actually. They will come every week. Those who have opted for weekly will pay every week. Those who opted for fortnightly will pay only in alternative week. Those who opted for monthly will pay once in 4 weeks.
Okay, and what is the center attendance then on the portfolio, like whole country level?
It's about 65 to 75%.
Okay, thank you so much.
So here also we have to note that normally about 12 weeks in a year, we allow them to take off actually.
12 years?
Yeah, that means almost 20% of the time they do not attend the meeting. It's an intimate holiday available to them.
All right, thank you so much. That was very helpful.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Udaya Kumar Hebbar for closing comments.
So thank you so much for spending time in the evening and it's quite late. Thank you for all your support. We hope we have responded to your queries, and if you have any more queries, our investor relation desk is always available to reach out. Thank you so much. Good evening.
Thank you. On behalf of Investec, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.